hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So I didn't grow up in the church. I got saved when I was, I move around, I'm like a tennis game. I got saved in my 20s, but before I got saved, I wasn't living a life that was good for God. Who here has a bit of an ADBC kind of story? I was living for myself, and I had tried everything just to be good. Like I was raised in a Roman Catholic background, thinking that that would be good enough, but it wasn't. And I tried other things. I tried Eastern mysticism. Imagine a big guy like me sitting cross-legged trying to meditate. Didn't work. I got cramps. Oh, it hurt. Didn't work. I didn't have peace. I didn't have joy. So I kind of lived for myself. I got a job at a bar. You call them pubs here, I guess, maybe. And it was a nightclub. And because I'm a big guy, I was the bouncer. I wasn't the bouncer. I was the cooler. Do you know what a cooler does? I'm the guy that they would send in first to cool things down. So there'd be these big guys that are irate and ready to start a fight. They send me in to cool things down. And if I couldn't do it, then the big guys, the bouncers, would come and do it. I remember my mom always kind of saying, you know, have a good night, son. I'd wake up at around 3 in the afternoon, go to work in the evening. And we always had just terrible violence in our downtown. And it was almost to the point where I just didn't care. I didn't care if I got into a fight that night, if I didn't care that if I got stabbed that night or someone stuck me with a needle and I got HIV. I got to the place where I didn't care about what was going to go on in my life. I didn't have peace in my heart. I remember one time I came home and my mom and I was living in my parents' basement. And they said, we'd like for you to get out. You ever had that happen? It was not like get out of here. It was like, we want to have our basement back, so we're lovingly evicting you. And I remember sitting on, amen. I remember sitting on my mattress, and I was wrestling. I was like, what am I supposed to do? And I don't know if that was the Holy Spirit moving. Ariel, like, you did a great job, like, where God wakes you up. And I remember saying to a lot of youth camps, like, that you'd think that the Bible saved me initially, but it didn't. I remember a friend of mine saying, go work at a Christian youth camp. I remember, where did that come from? Just out of the blue, go work at a Christian youth camp. And I remember him qualifying as this. He goes, they give you work, they give you a place to stay, they feed you, and the girls are always so gorgeous. And as a guy, I'm like, cha-ching. So instead of the Bible saving me right away, it was the yellow pages. It was the telephone directory. And I remember opening up under camps, Christian. And right there was, I picked the first one in the book. I phoned them up and said, are you hiring? And they said, actually, we are hiring. This is going to date me. We're going to fax you an application. And I gave my friend's fax number. She calls me up. She's like, are you applying to the United Nations? I said, it's still going. And you remember those fax machines? It was on a scroll. I had to, like, this huge Dead Sea scroll for an application. And all the questions came about. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Oh, no, I'm in trouble. I remember saying to my friend, this dates me, I said, do you have an Encyclopedia Britannica? And I remember going and opening it up. And I was raised in a Catholic background. You'd think I'd know more, but I didn't. They said, you know, what is ministry to you? At the time, growing up in Canada, ministry was a punk band. And I knew that's not the answer. So I filled everything out. And then the lady said, there's an orientation weekend. Come on out to the ranch. It was a horse ranch. So I drove out to the ranch. I'm like a city guy. This is it. Like, I don't have cowboy boots or whatever. But I show up, and immediately you come onto the property, and you can smell the manure. And I'm like, I am a fish out of the ocean on this one. And I roll down the window. I'm smoking a cigarette. I said, where's orientation? And the guy looked at me, and everything that was not Christian just hit him like floodlights. And he just, like Moses, just pointed and didn't even say anything. Just go there, away from me. So I went to this hall like this. And I remember walking into the room, and this lady looked at me, and she's like, you know, shook my hand. She's like, welcome, brother. And I knew something was going on when people started calling you brother. So I'm like, hey, brother. I was like, and then I started walking, seeing people. They had leather-bound Bibles with zippers and their names in them. And I'm like, something's going on. Because when I grew up with the Catholic Church, the priest had the Bible. That was it. No one else had the Bible. Some of you guys nod your head, remember? And I remember sitting in a room like this, and it was Pentecostal camp. So we're like, talk about like baptism of fire, so to speak. I remember people just raising their hands and singing it, and I was sitting in the back, and all I could do is look at my car through the window. Maybe maybe that's you this morning. You're just going, if I go right now, no one will know. That's what I thought. I'm like, if I go right now, I'm like counting down. I'm like, it takes about an hour to get back. I could be back at work at the bar. No one knows. They would have said, well, didn't you have the night off? No, it was, I'm good. Have you ever had that? Where you're just like, I could just slip out. I want to just, you know, I want to just sleep versus getting up. No one's going to miss me. That's a lie, right? We're tracking you. As pastors, we're tracking every one of you. And we talk about you all night long. They're like, oh, this guy and that guy. Oh, in a good way, by the way. We're not like. But I thought, if I just slip out real quick, I could get home. This is going way too crazy. And we started singing and playing games and people calling me brother. And we're reading Bible verses. And something, which I now know is the Holy Spirit, was tugging on my heart saying, just give it a chance.
Yeah, it's great.
You have, what do you have to lose? But you have everything to gain.
Yeah,
right? And if you're there this morning going, I have lost everything, but you have a potential to gain everything right now. This Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 to 8. Romans, it's the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Rome. And they're going through the hardest time. Being thrown into the Colosseum. You've seen Gladiator. Real stuff. Christians are being eaten by bears and animals and gladiators. The church is being, just feels like it's just being constantly persecuted. Church, have you felt like you've been persecuted? You've gone through the meat grinder sometimes? You're not alone. The church in Rome is like this. Let me read it for us this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, just at the right time, while you are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's unpack this a bit. What does it mean to be justified by faith? Well, if you look at, whenever you see the word therefore, you always have to look at the verses before that, because it's there before, right? So you have to look at, what does it mean? It means that for Abram, he believed in God. He believed. And for us, we believe in the resurrection. It's the pinnacle of our faith. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we don't have faith. Paul says that for the resurrection, if we don't have it, our faith is futile. But Jesus rose. We always do this back home. He's risen. And you say, he's risen indeed. Let's do it again. He's risen. You don't just say it at Easter, folks. This is like a tattoo or something. Like, this is the thing. This is why we have life. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that he has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Another tattoo for you. Since who believes through this faith, we now have peace with God. Do you know that this word through is mentioned three times? I call this my workbook, my workbench. I've highlighted in my Bible with yellow, through. Because you can't do anything with you. You have to do it through him. You can do all things through him who gives you strength. You can't do it on your own. I tried. Trust me. I'll give you a heads up. It doesn't work. You have to do it through Jesus Christ. And he gives you peace. And what does he ask you to do when you have peace? You can what? Stand. Some of you were standing for worship. But I know deep down, you can't stand because you don't have peace. And there's an invitation this morning for you to stand together because you have the peace of God in your hearts. I'm going to give you that invitation later. But some of you guys are the opposite of peace. There is a war inside you. There's a battle, and every day is hard to get up. And the stuff that's swirling around you has caused commotion and chaos in your life. The drama, the addictions, just the family drama, the dysfunction. It's just like a war that's always around you. But folks, when you come in this morning, did you sense the peace of God? When you got a hug from Sue, did you, all of a sudden, just all that was like, it just fell off you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what the church is. That's what the house party's all about. It's about that we can stand because we have peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I see a brother not standing, what's my job? To bring him up. That's our job. We want, and that's what the Abba Father, that's what the Father does. He carries us. Do you remember that poem, Footprints in the Sand? When the guy says, you know, Lord, you know, all I see is one set of footprints. Where were you? And he says, son, that's when I carried you. It's only when those moments where he carries us through the hard stuff, that's when we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And I love these words here. I like that. Not only so. Not only so. It's almost like, let me give you the next course. As if this was like my lamb meal I had last night. Oh, it was good. It was so good. I was like, oh, it's getting, this is again, it's the first time cooking lamb. It was good lamb. It was almost like, not only so, here comes the tiramisu. Yeah. East side, not only so. Look at the next one. We take joy. Have you taken joy today? Have you got up this morning and rejoiced? Have you got on your chair and sang with all your heart this morning? If not, why not? In what? This is the hard part. And I love this last song. There's sufferings. You're going to go through the hard stuff. The commotion, the chaos, the fights, the quarrels, all the ugly. Actually, the Greek word for suffering is troubles, tribulations, pressures, and anguish. But what does it do? It produces. It's a Greek word called katergazetai. Katergazetai literally means to finish holy. So let me tell you a story. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
There's a TV show that my kids and I were watching called Forged in Fire. And you know what they do? They just make knives. I thought, this is a boring show. Uh-uh. They take these blocks of steel, and they kind of layer it all together. Isn't that us? Aren't we all just layers of little bits of steel? And just on its own, I could pound on it, and it's going to do nothing. It's not a knife. It's just a block of steel. So what do? They put on all their safety equipment, and they lift up this thing. It's a billion degrees Fahrenheit. Like, it's like the sun, right? They take this billet of steel, and they just put it in. Do you think it's only there for a couple seconds? No. They're watching it, and it goes from red to white. And the heat is so intense. It's not like, well, we'll just turn it up a little bit. No. They went in from cold to a billion degrees Fahrenheit. Isn't that how our life is sometimes? We're like, we're just having life, and bam, billion degrees Fahrenheit. How did that happen, Lord? And we're like, oh, well, I know we've all done that. Oh, God, I'm not liking you right now. I'm in the billion degrees Fahrenheit oven. And they just close the door. Eek, and they just wait with their goggles on. They pull it out and take it over to this machine. It's an auto tamper. And it's on a foot pedal. And this big pneumatic steel thing just goes, do, 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 do. Is that how you feel sometimes? Do, 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 do. And they're just a do, 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 do. Back in the day, it was like Thor, Ragnarok. Like. And then you think that's done. They're like, oh, they kind of fashioned this really kind of prehistoric knife. They're not done. Where does it go, folks? Where does it go back in? Into the fire. Oh, Jesus. That's how it is. You're like, I'm back in the fire. But sufferings, katagazatai, produces holy what? What's the first thing? Perseverance. God's got you. He's going to give you the right tools, the right time. He knows exactly what you could bear at any given moment. God knows you had 4 weeks of sleep or the lack of sleep. He knows exactly the prescription you need, girl. But you're in the oven. Then he comes out, and what does he do again? Do, 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 do. And you just sit there going, God, what is going on in my life? It seems like just when I feel like some of the knobby bits, the yucky stuff is breaking off, all of a sudden I'm back in the fire. Amen. And I'm sorry. I'll be the first person to say, I'm sorry you're back in the fire. I don't know what God's plan is. I'm not psychic. I don't have a crystal ball. None of us do. But I'm with you, though. Yeah. I'm right with you in the fire. There's no pulpit and pew. So then after they pull it out again, it's white hot. They pound it and they're grinding it. Now it's starting to look like a knife. Now the trick is, some of these guys, they think they got it done, right? They're like, they're grinding it and they're shining it. And they have to do tests for strength. Is it hard enough? Has it been hardened? So they'll go up and they're like, we'll do the strength test. And they hit like a watermelon. Of course. You said, when it's easy, anything could cut a watermelon. But they take something hard, like a big chunk of like koa wood, really, like, or oak. And all of a sudden, they hit it with the blade. And what's the blade do? It smashes. It breaks in half. Folks, you don't get to determine your character. God does. You don't get to Durham going, okay, God, I get, I get saving faith. Let's move on to the next thing. No. If you're still in the fire and he's still forging you, you don't get to, you're not in control. Later on in the verse, we'll see. What are you? You're powerless. So they start working on it. And there's this one thing that these forger guys do that is powerful to watch. They do what's called the quench. They take this almost finished sword and they plunge it into oil. And that process hardens the steel and makes it to be used. Then they'll sharpen it and it is hard as anything. Notice it's a process. It says that there's a katergazai, to work fully to finish. There's heat and produce. It's this perseverance and character, and then hope. You're able to bear the weight. You're able to cut the tomato and cut the tree. But you don't get to determine when you're hard enough. God does. God does. And you might be hard to do some things, but God is still producing a strong blade for the future. So it's cyclical, right? Just when you think you've got the character, you're right back again into the fire to get a little bit more sharper, a little bit more harder. That's what that verse means, if you're wondering. Like, what is this, produces this? It's because God is refining you in the fire. There's stuff that's going to burn off. All that's going to get burned in the fire if you allow yourself to be in the fire. Would you trust God in the fire? It produces character. I remember there was a story of Alexander the Great, the great military leader. He had thousands and thousands and thousands of troops. And he was in his tent, and one of his generals came and he said, There's a problem in the camp. And he's like, oh, what is it? He goes, there's a guy, he's drinking, he's drunk, he's hurting people, he's raped and killed other women in the village. He's just a really horrible man. I go, oh, yeah, oh, well, I can't control everyone. He goes, yeah, but his name is Alexander. So Alexander the Great, the big general, walks down to this guy and he says these words. He goes, either change your character or change your name. And there's a challenge for us this morning is if you trust Jesus, he's going to change your character. Because sometimes we can't change our name. Or nor should we. Character only comes from suffering and from perseverance. There's a story of Father Damien, a Catholic priest. He's from Belgium, and he had a heart for the people of Molokai. And so, and he was not permitted to go to Molokai. The bishop at the time said, no, Father Damien, no, God bless you, but you stay in Honolulu. And just serve the church there. So he did. As he suffered through it as much as he wants. Like, all right, I'll serve the church. But every time the bishop will come or the cardinal will come, he goes, how are you doing, Father? He's like, I want to go to Molokai. I want to help these lepers that are on this island, this colony. Finally, he got his wish. But he said this. He goes, you could serve them communion. Okay. He goes, so he was about to get off the boat, and the cardinal's like, no, you serve communion on the boat. They will swim to the boat, and you just throw the elements to them. Can you imagine? Just going on. He's like, this is not what I want to do. I want to be with the people. So what does he do? He jumps in, swims to shore. And at that point, the bishop's like, well, you just signed your death warrant. You just signed your death. I can't help you anymore. And for years, Father Damien just built the church. Like literally with his bare hands, built the church. What did it end up killing him at the end? Leprosy. But as he blood, sweat, tears, built that character, persevered under all that stress, the people claimed him as his own. And to this day, there's a statue in Honolulu, and it always has leis on his neck for the people of Molokai. But that was the character that had been tested in the fire. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to jump into the waters to a leper colony and serve the rest of your days there? And he kept on saying to the bishop, I need nuns. I can't do this work. I need nuns. And they denied nuns. Nope. It wasn't until he got leprosy himself and on his deathbed, they finally released nuns to go to Molokai. Are you willing to go the long haul with Jesus? Amen? His character brings hope. And then so not only so, but then here's the next part. You see. You see it? You see, this is the third course. I thought tiramisu was it. But all of a sudden, there's like a magical third course coming in. You see, it's why Paul's like saying, I'm going to give you something even better. You see, just at the right time, folks, do you know what that time is? Now. You think it was back then. Today, if I could say it, it says, you see, on the 9th at 11:24, you were powerless. Not when you got saved when you're 20. Right now, I am powerless as a pastor. Your beloved Paul and Sue are powerless without Christ. And so are you. We're all in it together. And I'm sorry if this is a nasty thing to say, but you are an ungodly bunch. You're a messy people. And so am I. Look at me. I look like a lumberjack skateboarder. Like, this is what I look like. I'm overweight, and that's fine. But I know I'm ungodly, but here's the big, you know, I always tell my staff, look for the big butts of God, right? But God, this is it. This is the tattoo. But God, his love, his own demonstrated love, we just celebrated the communion. He demonstrated. He didn't just say, follow my ways or my eightfold path or my teachings. No. He demonstrated his love physically by going to the cross. See, folks, this is the heart of the gospel. This is the gospel. It is the promise and a temper blade to be his character. And lastly, it's the promise of salvation. I don't know. Actually, I only know two people here, maybe four people. I don't know y'all. But God knows you. And if you're here for the first time and you're just like, John, I don't know, I'm a bit of a write-off. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, God does not make junk. God does not make junk. If you're saying, it's like, yeah, but you, John, you don't know my past. I have a past. It's not Christian. I tell you that right now. But if God could save me, oh my gosh, guess what he could do in your life? Amen? Oh, it's just the magnitude, the impact that you can do for Christ. But what are you going to do? I used to do this with my youth. I get one of those big chocolate bars, like the big ones, like the $5 ones. And I'd say, who wants a chocolate bar? Guess what would happen? No one would move. Because we live in a world where there is no such thing as a free chocolate bar. And the gift of salvation through Jesus is free. But you gotta do something, folks. You can't just sit in your hands going, oh, I'm sure that chocolate bar will get to me one day. No. Take a step and get the chocolate bar. Take a stand and say, I need peace. I need joy. I want what John wants. I want what the front row wants. I always sit in the back. Maybe next week, y'all going from the back to the front, and you're like, Jake going, whoo, like, this is what you got to do. Maybe you need to sing harder. You need to pray harder. You need to just come to church more often. Right? Because if you can see it in me, I'm powerless and ungodly. I'm an absolute mess. But if God can work in you, guess what he can do with you? Amen? Because why? He demonstrated his own love for us. Yet we were ungodly. Yet we were sinners. Folks, there's this prevailing wind where, you know, sin is kind of like, well, you know, sin is sin, and it's really up to you. Baloney. Do you have baloney in this country? Yeah. It's a lie. Sin is sin. And I'm telling you right now, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, he's a sinner. But Christ died for your sin. And he has set you free. And free indeed. That's why we say he's risen, and you say he's risen indeed. Because it's that freedom that you sense. So I'm going to call the band up for, I guess, another song. Is that the plan and stand? Okay, let's do that. And I don't know about you guys, but this is an opportunity. You can put your hands up, you can stand. I like the stand thing because that's what we want is peace. So I think all of us want to have peace. So let's stand. Let's stand in unity as a church. And if you're sitting here going, I don't know your Jesus, John, that's okay. You know, how do you become a Christian? All you do is say, God, forgive me of my sin. Take my life. I want to live for you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.